was born in Alabama. Okay. At the age, he came to know the Lord at the age of 13. He's married with, been married, what, three, two?
2 years.
2 years now, with a daughter. And her name is Ella Jane. Mm-hmm. Ella Jane. All right. And he's pursuing his PhD in church history. In church history. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, Kyle Scott.
All right, so Luke does me a favor. He actually sets a scene for us in verse 36. He says, "Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table." So this Pharisee invited Jesus over. If you look back at chapter 7, he wants to know, who is Jesus? Jesus has been doing lots of healing. He actually raised a man from the dead in this chapter, so that's cool. And then John the Baptist even asks, who is this Jesus? So the Pharisee wants to know, okay, let's see who this guy is. And he invites him to this big dinner party. And normally, when a guest would be invited to a party like this, great banquet would be there, lots of food. Everyone would be on their P's and Q's. They didn't want to embarrass themselves. Well, verse 37 actually throws a kink into the dinner plan. Jesus is ready to eat. The Pharisee is ready to eat. And then verse 37 happens. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. So this woman who obviously had a reputation around town of being a sinner. We don't really know much past that, but a lot of people think that she was a prostitute or something like that. But, you know, the text just says she's a sinner. Well, she walks in and makes herself pretty well known. She walks up behind Jesus and starts crying. And the Greek word here is brekain, which is actually associated with rain showers. So this wasn't just her kind of crying. It's her weeping openly, like making noise, being disruptive. So not only does she do that, but once she wets Jesus' feet with her tears, she realizes, oh, I have nothing to dry his feet off with. So she undoes her hair and starts drying his feet, and then she starts kissing and anointing his feet with this oil that she brought. All this is just out of the ordinary for a dinner party like this. Well, it gets even crazier because these words that he uses to describe this, the words that Luke uses, they're continuous things. She didn't just kiss his foot once. She didn't just wipe his feet once. It was continuous. It kept happening. It kept happening. And one more thing, when she let her hair down, that was actually a really offensive thing to do. It was grounds for divorce in a lot of cases. So she is basically bringing shame on herself by disrupting this dinner party and undoing her hair. And you know, we might ask, who is this woman who is coming in here? That's not what Simon asks. Simon, in verse 39, it says, "Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner.'" So his question isn't, who is this woman? His question is, who is this man? People have been calling him a prophet. He's no prophet. He's letting this sinful woman he's just letting her touch him and letting her anoint his feet with oil and all this stuff. So Simon reasons he can't possibly be a prophet. He's not who people say he is. Well, Jesus actually answers him. And if you notice in verse 39, Simon actually just thought this stuff. He didn't actually say it out loud. And Jesus answered him, knowing his thoughts. And he said, "Simon, I have something to say to you." If there's one thing I probably don't want Jesus to say, it's that. So Jesus answered him and said, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he replied, "Say it, teacher." A moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." So Jesus drops this parable on Simon to teach him, you know, I know what you're thinking, and I'm actually going to show you I know exactly who this woman is. And moreover, I know who you are. And Jesus drops this parable on him, and he basically puts Simon in an impossible situation. So in this parable, there are two debtors. One owes 500 denarii, one owes 50. And a denarii was basically a day's worth of work. So in both cases, these people could not pay this moneylender back. They would both starve by the time they got the money back. But the moneylender, the actual subject of the parable, forgives them both out of his goodness and his graciousness and his kindness. And Jesus, knowing that Simon had no other answer, asked him, which one would love him more? And Simon almost begrudgingly says, yeah, I guess it's the one whom he forgave more. And he's setting his own trap and he knows it. And Jesus said, you're right, you answered correctly. And then he proceeds to explain the parable. He does something interesting too. He turns to the woman who's, by the way, still crying, still wiping his feet, still anointing them with oil. He turns to her, but he talks to Simon. So as he's talking to Simon, he's looking at her and saying, do you see this woman? And I can imagine Simon thinking, yeah, she's been here making a ruckus this whole time. How could I miss her? She's crying, she's sobbing. She's there, I see her. But Jesus isn't asking, do you see where she is physically? He's asking her, he's asking him, do you see who she is? Because I do. I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. And these are all things that a normal host would do just out of courtesy. They would greet their guests with a kiss. They would wash their guests' feet. Simon did none of that, if you notice. Not once was it mentioned that he washed Jesus' feet, that he greeted him with a kiss. But this woman, who was not even invited, by the way, who was shamed in the town, came in and she went above and beyond everything that Simon did. And Jesus drops this bomb on Simon. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. So Jesus drops that bomb on Simon and basically says, you love little because you think you have been forgiven little. So Simon here was not considering the weight of his own sin, that even though he thought, oh, her sin is so much worse than mine, he still had sin that he couldn't pay back. But Luke doesn't end it. That's the point of the parable, but Luke doesn't end the chapter there. He goes on. He says, then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So Simon had claimed that Jesus could not possibly be a prophet because he let this woman wash his feet. But, you know, Jesus had done all these things in the chapter, kind of attesting that he was a prophet. He had healed the sick. He had raised a man from the dead. But even the prophets didn't have the audacity to forgive sins. But Jesus has the audacity to forgive sins because he has the authority to forgive sins. And that is what Luke is trying to get across. It's that in his authority, Jesus graciously extends forgiveness to all sinners. And that includes us. That's what Luke is trying to get to us. And based on that, we must respond to that offer of forgiveness. And really, there are two ways that we can, and it comes right out of the text. First is the response of this woman. You know, we don't get her name. We don't get any of her backstory. We just know that Christ has forgiven her, and man, she really gets it. She loves him. She shows gratitude with her time. She sought Jesus out. She wasn't invited to this party, but she heard that he was there, and she went. She found him, and it doesn't say how long she looked, but I can imagine it was quite a while. She also showed gratitude with her giving. This alabaster vial that she broke and poured perfume all over, that was worth 300 denarii, which, like we said earlier, that's about a year's worth of wages that she used on Jesus' feet. Normally, it would be olive oil, which is pretty common, but she used something so expensive. She also showed gratitude in her service. So while Simon was just looking on with disgust, she was actively serving Jesus, actively wiping his feet, anointing them with oil. And that's one way we can respond. But that's not really the point of the parable. The point of the parable is to realize that we have sinned and to love much. But often we think, you know, our sin isn't as bad as the next person. So the point here is to refuse to count your sins as little and therefore love Christ little. So remember the cross. Look to the cross when you think your sin isn't bad, because that is the picture of how bad it actually is. And that is the picture of how much Christ actually loves you. In this whole story, Jesus is trying to tell Simon, I love you just as much as this woman whose sin I have forgiven, and I'm willing to forgive you. You just need to take that up. You just need to grab onto that forgiveness. So one unique thing about this passage, we don't actually see how Simon responds. It's never mentioned that he accepted that grace. He never once says Simon became a Christian. But Jesus in his authority offers us grace. And while we don't get to see how Simon responds, we do get to respond. So as you consider yourself, as you look at the things in your life and you see sin that might not be that big, remember, the cross speaks to the depth of our sin, but also the depth of the love of our Savior. So refuse to count your sins little, and instead follow the example of this woman who loved Christ much with her time, her giving, and her service. Thank you.